Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
So welcome back to the Holy Wit podcast. We hope you had a good week and a restful weekend. Steph, what were you up to this weekend?
A lot of sitting around. And if I wasn't sitting around, I was working out. If I wasn't working out, I was thinking about this next podcast. What were you doing this weekend?
Working.
Working.
And today's the day of Sabbath day, so day of rest.
And it's restful because this is not anything that takes from you. This is something that adds to you and encourages you.
Moves out of the regular routine of the other work. And
right.
It's not a matter of just resting and sitting on your butt. It's a matter of changing what you do so that, like you say, it gives you edification.
And the Sabbath rest does not mean that you don't work and talk into your wife.
That you don't work?
That you don't work. It means you need to work at talking to your wife.
Oh, at talking to your wife.
In talking with your wife.
Ah, yes. Good. So this session that we're talking about today comes again out of our Broken Branches teaching. Today we're going to talk about to judge or not to judge. That is the question.
That is the question. This is where my love for Shakespeare intersects with my love for Scripture. I can meld the two together. When I think about the question, to judge or not to judge, that was written very intentionally.
Yeah.
Almost word for word. From Hamlet, to be or not to be. So to judge or not to judge, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in community to practice tolerance in the face of bad behavior, or to go against the sea of trouble and by opposing it, end it. Very Shakespearean.
Yes.
I hope I'd have it written it as confusing as Shakespeare. There are no Cole's notes on that quote, FYI.
Yeah.
But we will unpack it for you as we go. This was written based on Paul's letter to the Corinthians in what we know as 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a lot in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
There's chapter 5 is Paul's "Are you kidding me?" lecture to the Corinthians. If you'll recall, he's talking about the man who was doing inexplicable things. He was doing things that even the pagans wouldn't tolerate.
Right.
And it brings us to, and he's saying to them, you need to be mourning over this and put this man out of your fellowship. And remember, we're talking about Titus. Where's that line? Warn an unrepentive, divisive person once, warn them a second time, and after that have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is saying, you got to get rid of this guy. You got to put him out of your fellowship. He's doing these things.
Yeah.
And you're proud of it. How can you be proud of it? You should be on your knees in mourning, booting this guy out of your fellowship. He does not represent what Christ came for and died for. And so it brings us to the question, do we have a right to judge? And Paul answers it in the same chapter. He says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Outside the church. Are you not to judge those inside?
So who are the outsiders?
Well, who are the outsiders? Just because they don't attend your church doesn't make them the outsiders. That's kind of the question that they asked Jesus. So who's your neighbor? When we ask those kind of questions, we're looking for an excuse not to say anything to somebody that we know who shares in the faith, in the hope of glory, and they're behaving badly.
Right. I think that's where the line of distinction comes. We have to learn that when we're talking about those outside the church and those inside the church, it's the belief. Because those who don't believe or follow Jesus aren't under the teachings of Jesus.
I'd even take it a step further, Cam, and I would say it's not those who are without belief. I would say it's those who are not being discipled, who are not showing themselves to be disciples of Christ.
Right, yeah, because disciples are the ones who are living out the teachings of Jesus.
The believers are the ones who crucified him. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
They're the ones that called for a murderer to be set free and for Jesus to be condemned.
Yeah.
It's the disciples that stuck around. It's the disciples that bear the fruit and show themselves to be.
Right.
Of Jesus.
Yeah. I'm just trying to define the fact, you know, the area that if somebody does not follow Jesus, does not follow his teachings, like in your case, is not being discipled that way, then they're not aware. They're blind to the truth of God's word, the truth of God. And so they're not to be judged by the same standards. We can't go to them and say, you can't be, you know, doing drugs or, you know, stealing or whatever it is, or gossiping or whatever that they're up to, because there is no level of accountability, because they're living out of the confusion or the darkness of the world.
Well, they don't want to be accountable to anything. You're right. They don't want to answer to anybody.
Yeah, they might have a moral code at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the law. Mm-hmm. You know, there are politicians and those governments put into place. There's those basic ones, but we're talking about a higher
standard.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so when we talk about to judge or not to judge, we need to understand that what they're talking about here is what Jesus was dealing with. And he was dealing with censorious behavior. And censorious behavior is just a fancy word to describe severe criticism of others. Mm. We've talked often about, is the actions of somebody offensive to me personally, or is it offensive against God?
Right.
And when it's offensive to me personally, then I'm going to get critical of that person who's mm-hmm. doing these things or saying these things. Not necessarily because it's against God, but because it's against me. Or it could be against you, and there's a hard time discerning or distinguishing between the two. But Jesus is commanding us to abstain from developing a habit of forming a judgment hastily, harshly, and without an allowance for every palliating circumstance. And in abstaining from forming the habit of expressing such an opinion harshly and unnecessary. And when I read that in the Myers commentary, right away I was reminded of gossip.
Hmm.
The censorious behavior was really Jesus, in my opinion, talking to the Pharisees to correct them, because they were very quick to criticize.
Right. They're a good example of that.
They're the best example of this. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't harshly criticize somebody without knowing the story.
Yes.
And I think that's very important. And so then to piggyback off that, the correct interpretation of this word judge that Paul is using in Scripture is to not set oneself up as judges of the faults of others. Again, somebody's character fault, you may see as a fault. Somebody else may not. They may see it as the opposite. They may see that as a strength. So when we rub against each other in this thing called life, in the Christian life, as a disciple of Christ, weaknesses are going to come to the surface. And what's a weakness if it's not a fault? It does not mean that you got to send the person into deliverance ministry healing.
Or
kick them out of your group.
Community, yeah.
You got to check yourself, as the Psalms say, Lord, search my heart and know me.
Yeah.
And judge those thoughts that are deep within me and see if there's any offensive way about me. This is what we're talking about when we say we are not to judge other people. We are, within the church, as we've previously defined, have every right to judge another person. Now, does it mean that you go to church and you see somebody across the way that you've never met doing something poorly in what you have determined to be in God's eyes?
Yeah.
It's not for you to go and correct them. It's talking about your pod, the church, as who you have relationship with.
Right.
You have every right to call into question such behavior that is offensive to God after you've accumulated and gained further deeper understanding about what's going on.
Yeah, and that deeper understanding comes from when you do life together with others. That comes with time, because as you build up or invest in time with others, you get to know them.
Yeah.
You get to know their heart. You get to know their ways. And so that gives you greater insight along with Holy Spirit to what's going on in their life so that you can make those judgment calls.
Right. Like I'm thinking of a time when I was having coffee with two older ladies that I quite enjoy getting together with. They're like mom age to me, yeah, kind of thing. And we got into this pretty heated discussion where our voices may have been raised a bit. We were sitting outside in this outdoor cafe and it was quite crowded. People were moving boxes from their cars out just so that they have something to sit on while they enjoy a coffee with a friend.
Yeah.
And our conversation became what others would obviously thought of as aggressive, and this is not going to end well. And before you knew it, we emptied that space. That was
run
so,
away.
People were running away. We were having a great time.
Yes.
Just going off of each other kind of thing and getting each other riled up. But not for a moment did one party, did I take anything to, you know, as an offense, nor did she take anything as offensive.
Right.
And we actually laughed at the end of it at the fact that we emptied the cafe, this outdoor sitting area.
Yeah.
That, oh, they must have thought that we were ready to beat each other up.
Yeah, to go to dupes.
But again,
yeah,
the people who left because they were uncomfortable or didn't want to see what was coming next, or were running to their car to get the phone to put this on some platform like YouTube or TikTok,
yeah,
or whatnot, didn't know, understand the whole story that this is how we love to spar with each other.
Yeah.
And we weren't yelling profanities or calling each other names.
It was just a challenging conversation.
It was a challenging conversation. And
yeah,
the lady that I'm thinking of, we tend to get loud. But it was fun. Like,
right,
we don't get those conversations often without somebody's feelings being hurt.
So yeah,
that's just a simple example of getting all the information before you form a judgment.
Right. Because a lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, you're not to judge. The Bible says you're not to judge.
Oh, I've heard that so many times.
Both in the church and outside of the church.
Oh, for sure.
And it's actually an improper look at what Scripture says about judging.
But really what they're saying is, you can't speak into my life.
Right.
You can't. Who are you to correct me?
But Jesus said, don't judge because you'll be judged by the same measure.
Right. And so then on the surface, that's a contradiction.
Looks like it.
It looks like it, because Jesus is saying, don't judge or you will be judged. And Paul's saying, you got to judge those inside the church. It's none of your business to look at it. But this is what I was talking about, because we need to understand that Jesus is dealing with censorious behavior.
Yeah.
And so then he's saying, yeah, no, you do not have a right to judge somebody critically without knowing the full story.
Yes.
And Paul is saying, you know the full story. What more do you need to know? This man is sleeping with his stepmom.
Yeah, it was either his stepmom or his mom, or his, we don't really know for sure. But
yeah, the way it's translated.
It was that
it's,
bad.
Right.
It was pretty brutal.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and so what more information did they need? This guy was obviously, well, not obviously, we get the impression that he was bragging about it, and other people in the church were proud.
Yeah.
You go, man. You go get that, right? Whatever the talk is.
Term.
Whatever it is.
Well, they didn't confront it.
They didn't. But
and a
why
lot of times
they?
By not confronting it, you don't realize that by not confronting something, we're actually moving into agreement with it.
Exactly.
And that's just as detrimental.
But we don't realize we're moving into agreement with it. Instead, we're a lot of times what happens, I don't know if you agree or disagree, it gets stuffed into some corner where we're keeping a record of wrong, whether we realize it or not.
Sure.
And there's a puncture. There's a mark against that person. There's a fault. And I'm going to keep tabs on these.
So use the word puncture. What is that? Where does that come from? Expand on those little punctures.
Oh, yes. As I was writing this study, Holy Spirit just inspired me with a term called Morse code of puncture. So we know what the Morse code is, the radio way method of communicating.
Dot, dot, dash, dot.
Right. Dot, dot, dash. And it's interesting because I love the stories on the Titanic. The older I get, the more interested and enthralled I am with history. I love World War One and Two. I wouldn't have loved to live through it, but I love learning about it now.
Sure.
After it's over. The Titanic, I would have hated to be on it. I don't like being cold. Just ask a friend of mine who keeps her house at 60 degrees. And I come in there wrapped in a snowsuit, scarf and mitts. And she's in shorts and a t-shirt. Drives me crazy. But it is what it is. I mean, she's got awesome. She can Blood generate flow. Heat. Yeah. I don't. But it was interesting. As I said, I like learning about the Titanic. I would not have wanted to be on the Titanic. And when they started bringing up pieces of the Titanic that collided with the iceberg, the way that they described it was a Morse code of punctures that took down the ship. You would have thought it was like a bomb.
Like a big gaping hole.
Right in the side of the Titanic. But what it was this Morse code of punctures that was enough to allow the water to seep in and go over the compartment headings and eventually flood them and took the ship down. The ship that people call the unsinkable ship.
Even God himself couldn't sink this ship.
That's the best line in the movie. God himself cannot sink this ship.
That's the best line. It's not, I'm king of the world.
No. Give me a break. Okay, we're not going there. We're just focusing on the Morse code.
I'm just teasing.
Of punctures. And when we look at our relationships, even the strongest ones, or that we think that we're in relationship with somebody that's so strong, nothing could take it down. If we are not bringing into light those things that become hidden in the dark, or those things that we're moving into agreement, like you said, without knowing it, because we don't know how to bring it up.
Yeah.
They will sink your unsinkable relationship.
Right. Yeah.
All too often, we look at these things, but we don't peel it back enough to analyze what broke our relationships. And we know this from speaking with couples that are separating or even going through friendships that are dividing. You know, if they give you the time to talk about it, or even if people are honest about it, I think they would be able to identify what I call these Morse code of punctures in their relationship. And they're things like gossip, we've talked about before. They're things about, you know, bitterness, unforgiveness is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that was big enough to forgive. Well, forgive the small things, and then you're not so ill-equipped.
Practice.
To forgive those big things. Right. Because if we leave them unchecked, these Morse code of punctures will take down our relationships and take down our communities. We've talked before about this one small group that we know of that when the husband and wife separated, it ended up destroying the group.
Yes.
And the group, you know, whether they did or whether they didn't, I don't know. Check the facts and gained all the information before the entire group decided to split.
Yes.
You know, maybe they should have just booted both the husband and wife out for a time.
Right, after confronting them.
And then bringing them back
the behavior
after a certain time. Right.
Once or twice or twice, right?
Right.
Following that pattern that Paul talked about.
Because here's the thing. A heart that nurses an offense will harden, and our mouths will speak accordingly. If we remember that scripture that says the mouth speaks with the heart.
Yes.
Or the mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart. So if we're critical about somebody and we've nursed it for a time, it's going to come out in our speech about that person. And that's what we're not supposed to do. So then it leads us to the question, okay, so if Paul is saying that we're to judge and Jesus' words saying that we're to abstain from forming the habit of jumping to
harsh judgments.
Right, harsh judgments, then what is it that we're supposed to do? And a good question to ask is what's in the Lord's heart in this situation? How would the Lord, and go into him and go, God, how would you speak into this? What would you say? And I often go back, I often hear Revelation chapters 2-3 come out in this when they're talking about the churches. This is what I have for you.
Yes.
And this is what I have against you. Now is the time to repent of the things that I have against you and to guard those things that I have for you.
Mm-hmm. So when Jesus does that in our lives, what does that look like?
Well, what does it look like? It's a call to repentance, which is what we're talking about. When our behaviors come under judgment of our community, we need to get to the point where our communities are functioning in that healthy way where they're talking with each other and the person, and they're coming to a group consensus that says, for a time, this is what's best for everybody.
Yes.
And this is what I have for you, and this is what I have against you.
Yeah.
Now, it's heartbreaking when we look through it, because there's churches that God had nothing for.
Right. There was just everything against.
So if you find yourself being that person where your group, your community that you belong to, can't think of anything that they have for you in the eyes of the Lord, don't take that as a you suck. Take that as a good thing, because God has given you that opportunity to correct that, to repent of it.
Yeah, healthy correction.
Healthy correction.
And I think, too, we have to always remind people that, again, repentance is a word we hear in the church all the time. A lot of times people think that's, I'm going to confess my sin. And we have to remember that confession and repentance are two different things, right? Confession is, yes, Lord, I did this, I was wrong. But repentance, taken out of the Greek word being metanoia, means to change the way we think, or really it broken down, it means to move into agreement with somebody of greater authority, which is God, and then change the way I think. Because I know, we know that as we think differently, then eventually we believe differently, and then we behave differently. And that's something we have to understand too, that repentance, again, is not going to be an instantaneous thing.
Nope.
Like too often, I repent and I'm good. No, God's saying, I want you to repent truly of this so that you actually change. There's a transformation that happens in our lives. And I think that transformation also has to happen in community, because if somebody's doing something, say, use your example of gossiping. If somebody's gossiping, which really is, gossip is about defaming somebody's character. So if somebody's gossiping in the group, then to come alongside that person and say, hey, you know what? And you know that, here's what I have for you. God loves the fact that you're very personable, or pick a good trait of the person. But here's what we see is an issue. Your gossiping is tearing others down. And so we need to correct that behavior. And I think a lot of that happens, again, in community, because it's discipled, that repentance is discipled into people. And the bad behavior is discipled out of people, with the group living, you know, doing it together, not just one person.
And we've talked about this before, that to correct somebody else is not all of a sudden out of nowhere. Why are you only bringing this up now?
Yeah.
If we are functioning as a healthy body of Christ, we'll be having these conversations throughout, whether it's directly or indirectly. And indirectly, I'm talking about through when we get together and we study the Word of God, and we have those conversations indirectly or directly.
Yeah.
And even to add on to your example, it doesn't even have to be that kind of gossip. You know, as coffee is to a Christian, you know, we joke and say coffee is the acceptable addiction.
Yes.
That all Christians are. What is the acceptable form of gossip in communities?
Well, I guess the stuff that's hidden. Let's pray for Bob because, right, he's fill in the blank.
Right. Bob needs prayer. Why? What's going on? Oh, well, let me tell you, you haven't heard?
Yeah.
So easy to fall into gossiping.
Yeah.
And so difficult to guard against it. But I love having those conversations with girlfriends of mine, and myself or the girl will say, you know what? I'm not going to say anything more. I shouldn't be talking about this. And instead of going, well, you brought it up, obviously you want to talk about it. No, that's not the right response. The response is, yeah, you know what? I agree. If that person is not here,
yes,
and you're going to talk about them in a certain light, I'm not talking about, oh, did you laugh when they did this? Or, you know, I hung out with them the other day and you know, it was a really good time. This is what we did. That's different than talking about, than starting to defame them or start to criticize them. As Jesus is saying, you know, let's abstain from that habit of criticizing. And my cousin, a cousin of mine, when I was growing up, I've never forgotten this. I haven't seen him in decades, but I've never forgotten these words. We were sitting around one day, I think I was in junior high, and we were talking really poorly about another family member. And he stood up, and he doesn't talk a lot. So when he speaks, everybody stops and listens. Mm. And he said, look around the room. Is that person here? And we're like, no, of course not. That's why we're talking about them. He goes, then you don't. That person's not here. You're not talking about them.
Yeah.
And he got up and left. And I was like, wow, how do I learn that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of times people will, I know in my past, they've come and said, oh, I have an issue with so-and-so. And they're coming because they wanted me to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And my response to them was, have you gone and talked to that person? No, then our conversation is done right here, right now, and you need to go to that person.
Yes.
Because scripture tells us if somebody has offended you or hurt you, you need to go to them one-on-one.
Well, that's the thing.
Try to restore that.
Right. And that's the thing. I think we are smart enough to recognize that if we're to cast judgment on somebody for the right reasons, that it's going to involve conflict resolution.
Yes.
And that's just something we want to bury our heads in the sand with, and something we're going to talk about later in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Is that right now we're talking about, yes, this is your place to judge and this is how we judge.
Yes.
We want to ask the Lord, what's in your heart? And if it is just me being critical, then Lord, deal with me as you need to.
Yeah, if it's something that is personally offensive to me and rubs me the wrong way, but is not against what God has commanded or Jesus' teachings, then that's my problem. It's not an issue that needs to be corrected with another person. Yep. I think that's where we need to have the discernment of others. We need to bring others into it and say, you know, hey, here's what I'm experiencing. And again, it's in community that we can get confirmation. If this is an offense against God and other people are seeing it, then yes, then we have it, something we need to deal with.
But we're not having those conversations to gain a team.
Yeah, we're not getting people on our side.
Right.
But we're talking about people in discipleship that we're close to saying, yes, Here's what I'm dealing with. Am I off base?
Right. Or this is how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? And if I'm wrong, correct me. And again, that involves vulnerability.
Right. We need to be able to hear that ourselves, that we're the ones that has triggered something in me that I don't like.
Right.
That person looks like somebody who was, you know, abusive to me in my past.
Reminds me of this person who, this coworker that just drove me crazy.
Yeah. Or the way they speak just grates on my nerves. Well, that's not.
Maybe they should go to Toastmasters and learn how to get all those us, so's, ands, likes, buts.
Yeah. Well, right. But it's not against God.
It's not.
It grates on me. So there's something in me that God needs to allow to come up and deal with.
Yes.
First.
Yes. And we're going to split this in two because we're going to talk about something else here. But I want to end this one with what, again, I think I've said before, I love Albert Einstein. Again, as I get older, I love all those things, all those people that
We're
so boring in school. But Albert Einstein says, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them.
Say that again.
We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them.
Yeah.
Do you hear the ownership in that?
Yeah.
You got to take ownership with this. So if you created this problem because of your critical heart, you cannot solve it with your critical heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is vulnerability. Whether you're vulnerable before the Lord, vulnerable in community, allow other people to speak into that. Allow those people you trust who are not going to put you down to help you work through your level of criticism that you saw, that you created that problem to be.
Yeah. Allow God to speak into it, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to it. And this goes back to, again, hearing from God, being sensitive to what he's saying, and then engaging with him.
So where we're going to leave it off here, and we're going to pick it up in the next session, is that Paul goes on to say and some things that are very, very uncomfortable. He talks about in verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, so when you are assembled and I am with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Very uncomfortable words for us to read. What do you mean we're going to hand this person over to Satan? Isn't he our enemy? What are we doing? Just throwing him into a pit of wolves?
Mm-hmm.
And we're highly uncomfortable with that. And a lot of us skim over that or ignore it completely. You may have
even... Because that's not very loving.
It's not loving at all.
Or is it?
Well, on the surface, it doesn't appear to be loving.
Yeah.
But in our next podcast, we're going to dig into what's beneath the surface.
Yeah.
And what Paul is communicating to the Corinthians and what we can learn from that. Hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. If you have it crossed out of your Bible, just write it again in the margins.
Mm.
Because it's a teachable moment for sure.
Okay, so we will pick up on that next podcast. We invite you to join us for that. Again, if you like this podcast, we encourage you to rate it on whatever platform that you listen to it on and share it with somebody you think would benefit. Because again, one of the most complimentary things you can do for us is to share this with others so that they can learn as well as we learn to walk with God.